Jesse, mm-hmm. take it away.
Hey, stuff and things. Yeah. So last time on Runners, our team had, they'd made it back to their city, back to Ingram, and returned the stuff. They had taken a little bit of a rest, but Huxley had gone to the hospital to meet up with his doctor friend to get healed.
Wait.
Smokey had kind of...
Doctor friend? My mom?
Yeah, doctor friend.
Jesus Christ.
She's not technically your mom.
She's your unofficially adoptive mom. Yes. How's that?
Yes.
All right. Continue.
So he had met up with Miss Joanna. And Smokey had gone to the bar, gotten a free drink. Zuchi was working out in the kind of armory area of the organization. And they all planned to kind of meet up afterwards. They met up the next day after Huxley had gotten he had pretty much passed out from, concussion and stuff. And he was being taken care of at the hospital. Zuchi came in, checked on him. They talked a little bit. Smokey, meanwhile, was kind of waiting to talk to Miss Joanna just to see how Huxley was doing and everything. He got the crap kicked out of her by her, handprint right across the face.
He got Will Smith
threatened. Yeah. And basically, threats ensued where, either protect him or get him to quit kind of thing. They took that advice and afterwards did a little shopping. So they traded in some stuff, traded in the rifle that they had gotten from the runners a few days earlier, and got a little more protection for their suits so that they can make it through a little bit better. And that's pretty much where we... Oh, and then Huxley did an expert job installing all of the new pieces. They're built-in engineer. So that's pretty much where we wrapped things up. Kind of on the precipice of rest and restart at the moment.
Yep.
So we'll go ahead and say that, after Huxley did his thing and the three of you kind of go over the gear just to make sure everything is up and running, run a couple of tests, everything is fine, and you kind of part ways, make it to your respective beds. I know Huxley lives with Miss Joanna. Zuchi sleeps in the barracks. Smokey, I'm pretty sure we said you have a place.
I thought I was just wherever my job says to go sleep. So I think Zuchi and I did say we were back at the barracks.
Oh, you're at the barracks? All right. Sounds good. So you basically, the three of you, do your nightly routine, do whatever you like to do, and then crash for the next day. So one thing I do kind of want to talk about slightly. So Zuchi, you've kind of had some stuff going on a little bit, and you've talked kind of with the guys about a couple of little things, mainly that, you're overly protective for reasons, and you've kind of mentioned family and things. Actually, real quick, go ahead and roll me give me a psyche roll. Just beat a 3.
I got a 6.
Ooh, nice. All right, so I'm gonna let you kind of take control of whatever you want. I'm gonna kind of lay a little bit of groundwork. Tell us as much or as little as you'd like. All right. So all of these kind of recent events bring up a lot of memories, a lot of true or not you know, really didn't, you know, memories are weird that way. But in your dreams, you kind of have some flashbacks and that kind of meld and coincide with your current goings on between Huxley and kind of the recent trip, the recent run that you guys had. How does your past family and what happened to them kind of have any bearing on your current situation with Huxley and your protective nature?
I would say a lot. Zuchi is a brother and sister, or a brother to brothers and sisters. Let's say he's the middle child of four brothers and four sisters. So he's the ninth kid, and he's right smack dab in the middle. So he's got some of that are older, some that are younger. And there were times in the burnt with his family where we would actually, some of us would pretend we're runners. So we'd like, you know, go to the, like what we thought was a little safe place in our family area or whatever. And we go to like grab some, like, let's just say like some corn that wasn't as damaged as other things. So like, let's just say like there was a little bit of corn, but maybe it had a little radiation on it. Maybe it didn't, but like that was, you know, what we could scavenge or whatever. So it's like, we'd take these little trips, and we'd be like, Zuchi would be like the leader basically, and be like, okay, all right, Milana and Brock or whatever, he'd be like, okay, Milana, I want you to go out to the, I want you to go to the west end, and Brock, I want you to go to the east end, and just be careful, you know, that kind of thing, and be like, just like send them out for different things. And like, sometimes they would come back unscathed, sometimes they would come back and they would be, something would happen, they would, you know, maybe get, you know, hurt by an animal, or, you know, maybe they got a little too much radiation because I just went a little too much off grid, even though Zuchi would be like, okay, these are the spots that are safe, take those, don't try to be a hero, because it's really bad out there, kind of thing. So so, you know, he would actually get in a lot of trouble, because his mom and dad would be like, you can't do that. You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, if we're gonna go scavenging for, or go, I'm trying to think of the right word, just like going to, you know, get certain vegetables or something like that, we have to have a party of people, because you just don't know what's gonna happen.
Right.
And let's just say like one of the nights Brock goes out and never returns. And so Zuchi is blamed for doing that. And it wasn't even on a night where he did that. It was basically one of the nights where Brock just had an idea, and Brock was like, well, I'm going to go out, I'm going to find some stuff and bring stuff for the family. And, you know, after that, you know, again, no body was found.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know, no signs of any kind of a struggle or anything like that. And, you know, from then on in, Zuchi was blamed for that disappearance.
Yeah. Well, because you were the one in their eyes that had encouraged that behavior.
Yeah. And even though Brock was older than he was looking up to me, and he was following Zuchi's, you know, leadership or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it just shouldn't have, you know, Zuchi should have known better to be like, okay, we're playing a game right now, but in real life, you got to be safe. So,
yeah. Yeah. So I imagine too, kind of probably part of the dream, the recollection that you have, is, you know, the moment the other day from when you went to visit Huxley in the hospital, when you kind of walk in, there's all the curtain lined rooms, you know, makeshift rooms up like that. And you're going in expecting to visit Huxley, but you draw that curtain back, and whatever the current situation or the last situation that Zuchi had thought of how Brock might have ended up not returning, you see Brock laying on the bed. And that's, as soon as you lay eyes on him, that's when you wake up.
Okay. I would even add, if it's okay with you, I would even
absolutely
add that.
It's your dream.
What is Huxley's adoptive mom's name again?
Miss Joanna.
Miss Joanna. Okay. So I would even add, like, you know, and then he turns and, like, expects to see Miss Joanna, like, screaming at him, telling him, what are you doing? And instead, it's his parents. And they're like, we're so disappointed in you. Look what you've done to our, you know, they'll even like throw in like favorite son, you know, just to kind of, you know, throw a little bit more of a knife in Suchi's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's the guilt you feel talking.
Yeah.
It's not exactly that they would ever say that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause even though they probably never said that out loud, I know exactly how they felt.
Right. Yeah, so that's how Zuchi wakes up in the morning.
Sweet. Cold sweat.
Yeah, right. You
know, it's sweating more than even when he works out, his daily routine kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's probably looking around. He's probably like, he lays back down a little bit, but he's like wary of falling back asleep because he doesn't want this to continue.
Exactly. It's still dark, but you have a feeling it's going to be sunrise soon. And just laying there for probably a good hour and a half until the sun starts to rise and the fluorescent lights kind of flicker on in the barracks area. Smokey, how late were you out drinking last night before you finally came back to the barracks? Did you actually go drinking, or did you kind of call it?
So I chatted with Marla.
That was the night before when everyone first got to Ingram.
The night before. Okay, so then this is another day. This is after us getting, after Smokey and Zuchi got in the goop and all that. So this is the
exactly. Yeah, this is going to be the night following that. Yeah.
So I think he would go back to the bar, right, and just for small talk and chit chat and whatever.
All right.
I don't think he would have been, you know, it's the day after. He's probably still feeling a bit weak from when we had the deradiation bath.
Yeah.
So he won't be.
Yeah. If anything, it's almost like getting a respiration test where, you know, like a nebulizer treatment where it makes you better, but at the same time, it sucks a lot out of you.
Yeah. So you come
out of it physically better, but, you know, exhausted at the same time. So
it's not like Smokey has anything else to be doing, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it is just him. So he's, you know, he would go back to the bar because I think Smokey also likes to just to hear and see what's going on, right? So they just got back from their first run. Some kind of weird stuff happened. They saw some weird stuff, so he just wants to keep his ear out. I don't think we've really told anybody. Did we? So we have the sign from the tram, right? The shortcut that I told us to bring back with us. So I don't know if we've told anybody yet, or if that would be for Briston we were going to tell, or if that was stuff we were going to hold on to because we've got a chit of some information. You know, I think we did say walking back we would hold that, you know, because we were saying to Huxley, you know, that's some more info to keep, you know, that it may be worth something coming back around. So I think we decided we weren't just going to blare out everything we saw. So Smokey would just go back to the bar just to keep his ear to the ground. You know, we did get attacked, right? There was some, you know, some weirdness going on with the other runners that we saw under the bridge. So he would just go back, and I wouldn't say he's nursing it, but he wouldn't be, you know, tying one on or anything.
Right. Sounds good. Yeah.
He would get a buzz on. Let's say that he'd get a buzz on. He wouldn't get
right, so there you go.
He'd get a buzz on.
And Marla definitely helps with that a little bit. You know, so she sees. You know, when you first walk in, that you're, you know, a little hampered at the moment. And so she says, I tell you what, I'll give you the first couple half off. You look like you might need a couple.
Well, yeah, after the shot you gave me yesterday and then some of the other doctoring I got done, yeah, I'm a bit wobbly on my knees, so it would definitely be appreciated.
Yeah, and she leans on the counter at that point too, and she's like, "Okay, now that one was for free. All right? That was your first run, your first real hit. All right? But don't count on those for too much longer."
And
whatever, she kind of like gives you a little bit of a wink and starts pouring a couple of drinks.
Yeah. So whatever she gives me, if I'm assuming Smokey may be a Boilermaker guy. So it's probably, you know, a mug and a shot.
Nice. Yeah.
So when she does say that, you know, he'll raise it up as a toast to her. So he knows, the tradition of, right, you know, your first run back, you get the shot kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
You know, the deradiation shot or what, you know, whatever it was. But yeah, so, you know, he'll understand that. And it's not like Smokey's looking to, you know, recoup everything. You know, he's, as we said, he's pretty rough and tumble. So it's not like he's not like Zutchy. He's not going to be going through his stretching and working out. So right. I've made it this far. I've been lucky to make it this far. So, you know, let's just keep rolling the way it's going.
Nice. Yeah. So, you know, you're there for probably about an hour or so, probably maybe a little less than that. And now that you've had a few at this point, you know, and Marla's taking care of some other people in the bar, it's not super busy, but, you know, there's still enough that you don't get her attention all the time.
Yeah.
She's probably circulating around like six or seven tables at this point. Mm-hmm. But at one point, she gets a moment and she says, comes back to you and she goes, so, how are you feeling now?
are we saying on a macro or micro level? I'm feeling a bit shaky, but we've had a good run, but I guess that would be I guess we did have a good run. So, you know, I Smokey would just say, you know, I'm a little bit, it's been taken out of me, our run, but the kid made it back. And I think we have some marching orders for making sure he makes it back each time we go out. So all in all, the mind is happy, the body probably isn't that much, but that's not anything I'm unused to. I don't know if that's the right word. Yeah. Smokey would say that I'm not unused to it. So
you're ready to kind of go back out there, you know, get things done.
Yeah, I think we were just going to go see what was next on the bulletin board. I don't know if there is a bulletin board.
A virtual bullet board.
The stereotypical bulletin board. Yeah, I think, you know, right. I think Zutchy and Huxley haven't said that they weren't ready to go out. And I think we did mention to each other that after we rested up a bit and talked to Briston that we'd be heading back out. And, you know, he'll kind of look sideways at her, because obviously, so the one I owe her, mm-hmm. is that the to deliver the supplies, or is that something else?
No, she just said that she has some business in another place.
Into Zane. Okay, so that's not the thing I owe her, right? That's just a, hey, if you guys are out there, you can make a bit of extra.
That is what you owe her.
Oh, that is what I owe. Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure that. Okay. And I couldn't remember if we said, have we heard of Tazane or where it's at? I'm assuming we do. We just haven't gone, you know, we went west instead of north where it's at or something like that, right?
Give me a brains check. We'll do this. We'll do this graduated. So the higher you roll, the more information you have.
Okay. Other than just, hey, I need you to get some stuff out somewhere for me, or I know where it's
right.
At.
Yep.
Okay. Five.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So you actually have a decent idea of where this is. So you've never been there before yourself. You know, your last time was your first big run out to another null zone.
Yeah.
So obviously you haven't been there. But you have heard of it. You know people who have been there before. It is actually on the opposite side of the run of where you just went. So you left out towards the east. This place is more towards like the west northwest.
Okay.
It's not a super hard run. So the burnt that it goes through is a piece of the burnt called Sturbridge. It was a smaller town, but very popular for a lot of its science research and in engineering, which is probably why it was a target. But it's a wide area, so it's a longer run, but not necessarily more dangerous. And yeah, and it's and so you know plenty of people that have kind of gone back and forth from that area relatively safely.
Okay.
So
I'll look to Marla and just say, so the glass she gave me where she said, you know, that first one, the first taste is free, everything else afterwards. So I'll kind of tap that glass, just saying, so is this pertaining to what we talked about before, or do you have something new? New on your mind?
And she kind of looks at you and grins, says, "You must be some kind of mind reader, ain't you?"
No, don't take this the wrong way. I don't like owing people. Not saying I don't like owing people, but if someone's looking for something from me, or for me, I want to make sure it's taken care of. I don't want to leave you hanging.
Well, tell you what, to alleviate your conscience, why don't we go ahead and speed this up a little bit then?
You got a lot of tables to cover. I don't want you wasting your time.
I wouldn't want this weighing down, sitting in the back of your mind every run that you go on, you know?
Yeah, so I'm assuming Smokey's doing this, you know, jokingly, right? He's not. There's no edge to it. He's just saying, look, I said I would do something for you. I want to make sure it's taken care of, kind of thing.
And
so is the vibe he's getting back from Marla, you know, the bartendery, half flirty, keep the customers coming back, you know, is she also in that tone, or is there an edge to it? Like, yeah, you owe me something. Now your ass is going to go out and do it, kind of thing. Or,
right. Yeah. No, I mean, she's being polite about it. You know, she's not trying to push you to do anything, but she's just kind of reminding you at this point that you owe her.
And that's, I'm assuming every time I come in to get a drink, that's going to be there. Maybe not at the front of the conversation, but it's going to be around there. Right. But also I don't think Smokey's going to take that as any kind of slight or anything. He's just going to roll with it and say, yeah, I know you're next up on my list. You know, I'll make sure I check that off, that next kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So she says, yeah, you know, and she's like, listen, I had a guy that was up that way about a week or so ago, was supposed to make the run, said that he'd get it back. Said that he'd get what I needed up there. Ended up taking on another job. Wasn't able to bring it back. So it's kind of something that's time sensitive. And I don't know if you're going up that way anyway, but you know, it's kind of something that I need pretty soon. And I was hoping that, you know, maybe you'd be able to run up there and get it for me.
So you need me to go. So I'm not the delivery guy. I'm the courier guy. So you want me to come grab something there to bring back here?
I'm not
taking anything up. Okay, so.
And you know what? I'll tell you what. I know, you know, you're not used to going, you know, runners aren't used to going empty-handed one way. and I know I don't want you to miss out on anything. So tell you what, you know, your normal payment. How about I do like 1.5 times? I'd like to double it. I don't know if I can right now. But if I can give you like your payment plus half, do you think that would be good?
So Marlo gave him the coin that got him in under the bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's who gave. So he'll take it out and kind of flip it up in the air and say, I'm not going to be haggling over price. You helped us out before, so let me grab the other two guys. I'll find us a job that takes us out that way, and I'll bring back what you're looking for. I mean, because that's Smokey's like, look, whatever's out there, I don't think Huxley or Zucchi had anything planned about next. We just said we're going to do another one next.
Yeah.
So I would kind of look for one that takes us to that area, and we'll leave this other, the Marla side quest. I'll keep that to myself for the moment.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it plays out.
I'll go ahead.
I was just going to say Smokey wouldn't be trying to do under, he wouldn't be anything underhanded, right? If we're going to take a job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I won't keep playing it out, but Smokey's not going to be like duplicitous with the other two, right?
Right. So,
like,
yeah.
And if
you're not going to be sneaky, right? You're not going to do the job on the side and then take all the money for yourself. Yeah. You know, it's not that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's just not the way Smokey is. So, yeah. Okay, cool.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. So she'll kind of get, you know, you'll see her get kind of almost like relieved a little bit. And then she'll go over, you know, pour you a stout. This one's on the house.
I will grab it and take a sip and just say, is there, you know, any info you can give me, you know, any name or contact? I got a shout out when I get there, you know, just, you know, basic stuff, right? My assumption is she doesn't want to go too much into detail. I'll just say, look, who do I got to talk to grab this bag and bring it back? You know, that kind of thing.
And so she'll actually pull out her phone, and you see her, swipe a few things, and then she'll kind of reach her phone towards you, and you'll hear kind of like a like an alert notice. Mm-hmm. And it's just alerting. It's just, you know, do you want to connect with this device?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll turn on my Bluetooth.
There you go. Right. Yeah. And she'll just swipe you over a file.
Okay.
And she's like, that's going to have all the contact, the GPS location for where they are, the item number for the box, and you know, it's pretty much all you need, honestly.
Okay. And Smokey won't even go to look at it, right? He'll just, you know, raise his glass again and take another drink, and you know, he'll go look at it later. So if that's all he needed from her, if that's what she gave him, then, you know, it wasn't like she said, look at this and then destroy it, or, you know, that kind of thing. So he's not going to be worried about it. He'll check the file later for all the details.
Sounds good. Yeah. And as soon as she does that, the bell goes off for the front door. It's not like a real bell. You know, it's like an electronic sensor that has like the bell chime sound. She glances over, like over your shoulder real quick to look at the door. And then she looks back at you and her face kind of goes a little serious. And she says, I have some business I need to take care of, but, you know, let me know if you need anything else. All right. And she kind of makes her way towards the end of the bar to head out onto the floor.
Okay. And all Smokey knows is someone came in and then her face changed, right? That's it. Cause he was facing towards her. Not, I mean, so he'll do a little bit more nursing of his drink. He's not going to pry, but,
yeah,
you know, he's just going to see if anything happens. He's not going to get too involved because obviously Marla probably has about a million different things going at one time. So
right.
He's not going to. No one's come up and glassed him yet, so he's not too worried. So
lean back in the bar stool, turn to the left a little bit, take a drink.
It's not always easy to be. Exactly. Right. But I'm not gonna make it. I was gonna say too obvious. I'm not gonna try too hard, right? Because I'm sure there's tons of shit going on that
right.
everybody's up to.
Well, yeah.
I'll just slowly finish okay. my drink.
Yeah. So yeah, you finish your drink, and there's nothing else much. Within the next like 15 or so minutes, Marla doesn't come back to the bar. You can kind of hear her every once in a while, but she's so you know that she's in the room. Obviously, like, she didn't leave, mm-hmm. but she hasn't come back to, the bar area yet.
So I think what Smokey would do is, I'm just trying to think, when he did as John did, when I did my subtle arm over the back of my chair turn, did I get a look at who came in?
Yeah, sure. They are a man and a woman. The man is very dark skin, kind of almost like cornrowed hair that goes down and kind of braids to about half his back. Although almost half of his hair is missing, kind of just burnt off. The woman is, and he's probably, he looks, he's sitting down, but he looks pretty tall. The woman is probably just about his same height. But kind of pale, dark blonde hair, and similarly kind of braided, pulled back. And they're just in regular street clothes. The one thing you do notice, though, is they are both wearing very similar kind of like leather or pleather jackets, black, and on the left arm, they have two blue stripes that almost look like L's, with then another blue stripe that looks like a lowercase I next to it. So it almost looks like an LLI. And go ahead and give me a brains roll.
Another five.
Nice. I'm not sure what kind of and you want for this. Give anything you want for it. But that is the same emblem that was on the suits of the two runners that had ambushed you guys after you left the scrub.
And?
You grab Huxley right away. Just kidding.
Use him as a shield.
That's not what I was going to say. Holy smokes. That went dark.
And so Marla's not back. I'm assuming there's someone else, keeping an eye on everybody, right? So she's not the only one that works there?
No, she is the only one that works there, yeah.
Okay. I will... Now, this is going to sound kind of archaic, right? But I'm going to look for a napkin and write something on the napkin for.
Yeah.
And I'll just write, for those two that came in with the funky hair and black jackets, buy them a round on me, and I'll put a little smiley face on the end. And underneath that, I'll put, may want to chat with you later. And I'll just leave that on the bar and put some money down, but she'll take that out. But I'll just say, I want her to buy them a round. And then I'll chat with her later, 'cause I've got some questions about them. And then I'll just walk by them and kind of nod, just like you would in a bar, right? You're not standing, just you're walking by someone and you kind of give them the nod and walk out. So I'm going to leave Marla a note to buy them a drink, but I'm going to chat about them later.
Sounds good. And yeah, when you leave, you kind of walk behind her. So the other two runners are facing your way. So they kind of look up and make eye contact with you and they kind of give you a nod. And then that causes Marla to like look over her shoulder and see you. And she's like, you get some rest.
And I'll take out a smoke and light it and say, that's where I'm going right now. And just get off the door.
Nice. Huxley.
Yo.
You've had a relatively pleasant night's sleep with all the drugs coursing through your body.
Feeling pretty good. Relax.
Right? Yeah. Very colorful dreams.
I was reading a good book, fell asleep, wake up, it's just like on my face.
Yeah, and in the morning you actually wake up to Miss Joanna kind of going over some of your chart and some of your vitals.
Okay, so I'm still in the hospital then.
Yeah. Yeah, they said she said that you could have, you know, spend the night here and just for observation before you got discharged.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I think he kind of stretches and, you know, sees her there. He's so, good morning, Mom. How's everything? Is everything, hey, do they look okay?
I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean to wake you up. Yeah, I was just, you know, going over some of the discharge paperwork before we finally got you out of here. And I just needed to kind of, you know, write down some final numbers and just to get them in the system.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, the guys will wait for me, I guess. We don't have anything going on yet, I don't think.
She kind of drops a little bit and she goes, "You take as much time as you need, okay? I don't want you going out there before you're ready."
You know, he like scratches himself and I mean, you know, it's probably okay. I mean, I feel all right, I guess.
And she kind of nods and walks over and like puts her hand on your shoulder. And she goes, I'm glad. I just want to make sure that you're okay. That's all.
You know, he like feels around on his head, you know, for lumps or whatever. And he goes, fine.
Yeah. Your face is probably like still a little swollen, a little tender, but it's not nearly as bad as it was.
Yeah. I mean, this doesn't look so great, but, it's what happens, I guess. I mean, and I'll try to do better next time. I was trying to get away from that guy. And, you know, he wasn't there when we went through the first time, so I didn't expect him there when we went back. And he kind of looks confused.
That's why you need to be careful, and that's why she kind of sighs. Says, "It's why you need them to be with you. If you're going to be out there, you need a good team. You need people you can depend on who will look out for you."
Oh, yeah, those guys, they're super nice. They're looking out for me. I mean, they were helping me out.
Yeah, they seem like lovely gentlemen. And there's definitely a layer of sarcasm on that. She's like, "But just because they're nice doesn't mean that they can do the job well."
He sits and he thinks for a minute. "We all made it back.
They were a bit shitty, weren't they?"
"We all made it back. I mean, they didn't have good filters on their suits. They took a lot of radiation damage. I was really kind of worried about them."
"They're fine now."
"Oh, good. I put some new filters in their suits. I think Mr. Smokey found some that he traded in. That we found a rifle from that one guy, and then I guess they traded it for better filters because they had really bad filters."
"It's good to know that your training's coming in handy at least. As much as I tried to keep you away from the scrap yards and away from those people, in retrospect, with what you're doing now, I'm glad that you did."
"I mean, I just want to help, just like you."
"I know, honey, I know. Just let me know. Just keep me apprised of how things go, okay? I know I can't stop you from going out there, but at least I can make sure that you're better protected. And if need be, I can talk to some people. I can get you reassigned."
Again, he looks kind of puzzled. I mean, I know you were kind of, you seemed like you were maybe kind of mad yesterday, and you said the same thing, and that you couldn't stop me, but I mean, why would you, I mean, but why? I mean, I'm helping.
No, I know. I wouldn't want to stop you from doing what you want to do. And you are helping. Yes. And guaranteed, without you, the two of them probably wouldn't survive much longer.
I think it washes over him. Right? Because he's thinking like, well, yeah, I mean, like, I help with the suits, and not like, not in the shitty way that she means it.
Right.
He has no guile, so I don't, like, it's not even something right. He'd be looking for. Well, I mean, I don't want you to be mad.
I'm not mad. I'm just worried. You can understand that, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's kind of dangerous, I guess, but I mean, we have suits and all.
Well, yes, but even you said the suit can't keep you protected all the time.
No, that guy did. He did hit me pretty hard.
Well, not just that, but if you're, what if your filter isn't enough next time? What if your armor isn't enough next time? What if something breaks out there?
Well, I mean, I always check everything real good before we go, and I have my toolkits and stuff. I mean, I could be able to fix it.
Just do me a favor.
Of course, Mom.
If you find yourself in a tight spot, just make the right choice, please.
I hope so. I'm trying.
Just make sure you come back. Okay?
Okay.
And she'll kind of look around slightly and then lean over, give you a quick peck on the forehead.
Well, he gives her a hug. If she leans down, yeah. he gives her a
oh,
hug.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's trying to, like, keep it out of, because, like, she's a doctor still. She's trying to keep it professional.
Right now. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah, she'll, at that point, you, like, give her, she'll, like, lean into it. And then she kind of gives you a pat on the shoulder and says, oh, okay, I'm going to go turn your paperwork in. The nurse will be over in a few minutes just to get you back into your, get your clothes, get you processed, and then we'll get you out of here. Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Mom.
I'll see you at home.
Yeah, I'll be there.
And she'll give you kind of another pat on the shoulder, and she'll take off.
Shakes her head, fucking kid.
Right.
So he picks up the book that's now on the side of the bed and just starts happily reading. You know, pours himself a little glass of water.
Right. All right. Where do the three of y'all meet up?
I don't know. Do we have a spot? I mean, once I got out, I would wander around, start looking for you. I mean, I would go to the barracks first, probably. Mm. The barracks, the training area, and then the bar.
Yeah. This will be the morning after Smokey got a little tipsy and after Zuchi had his dream/nightmare. Mm-hmm.
So I think we said last time Zuchi and I kind of stay in the same kind of area, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would think that morning, obviously, Zuchi's probably up way before
right. Smokey,
or at least out of bed before Smokey.
He's up before you on a normal basis anyway. So
yeah, exactly. So I would say that, you know, once Smokey gets up, he would just chat really quickly with Zuchi, just saying, you know, let's, if you're up to it and if the kid's up to it, I say we go look, see if there's another run we can do. I have kind of a direction in mind, and I'll I'll talk to you guys about it if we can find something that kind of points in that direction. If we find something that's heading in that area, then, you know, I would explain some of the other stuff. But, so I would just lay that out to Zuchi. And Smokey's going to assume that if Huxley's all right, he'll end up coming over. So he's just, you know, filling in Zuchi a bit before Huxley gets there.
Unfortunately, Kurt has stepped away for the moment.
I was just going to say.
He agrees with everything you're saying.
Yeah, exactly right. You're right, yeah.
Smokey, you're very handsome. You're a really good guy, all that. I'll let Huxley know, too, when he gets there that, you know.
Okay, well, let's say he wanders in then.
So Smokey and Zuchi are kind of sitting there talking, and then Smokey sees Hux walk in to the barracks area, like over Zuchi's shoulder.
And if there's people in there, he'll wave. Like if people acknowledge, he'll wave. Hey, how's it going? How you guys doing? You know,
And you probably get a couple of like, dude, your face. What the fuck?
I'm sure. Like he's like Two-Face. Half his face is like purple and yellow.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's black,
purple, yellow, little shades of green.
it's pretty bad.
Did you fucking fall off a building? What the shit?
No, we were coming back from our run, and this guy in a big suit, he hit me with a big hammer. It made my head hurt. I threw up in my helmet.
they do laugh at you. At that, but they say, fuck, man. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'd lose my shit, too, if I ran into a Reaver.
I think I had a concussion.
Yeah.
So Smokey's going to be keeping an eye on the conversation just to make sure it doesn't turn into let's take a piss out of Huxley kind of session.
Yeah. Go ahead and give me a... let's say psyche. Give me a psyche roll.
Four.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. It's actual like gen. They're kind of taking a piss out of him a little bit, but in a friendly way. And, but there's like genuineness to it and like a sense of definitely a sense of like,
that like got cracked in the face.
Exactly. Like he got cracked and is still here. Like you're here right now.
The rookie made it back.
Good on you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the vibe I was kind of assuming that it was, but I just wanted to make sure that you know.
Yeah.
Because Huxley doesn't get any of it. Like he's laughing too. You know. Like.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, technically we're all still rookies, right? But we did make our first run.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, you know, I would have gotten a bit of it, too, if I was in that situation that Huxley's in.
Exactly.
I just want to make sure that he's still smiling and everyone else is still smiling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And has like Huxley sees Smokey and stuff. You'll kind of like wave to him. And one of the guys actually does like one of the other runners. It's actually like, all right. Yeah. Two-Face, just make sure that you don't get smacked around again. All right.
Or get smacked on the other side to even it out.
I hope not. It hurt a lot. Hey, Mr. Smokey.
Thank you for giving yourself your own nickname now.
So Smokey will wave him over.
Yeah, he ambles over.
Okay. Yeah. And you, Smokey, will say, you know, how are you feeling?
Okay. I think it looks worse than it is now.
It looks pretty bad. as long as it doesn't feel as bad as it looks.
Well, as long as I don't push on it too hard, it's okay.
Yeah, it hasn't taken away from anything. You still got your look, so. How's Miss Joanna feeling this morning?
I don't think she likes me to go out on runs. I mean, she said she wasn't going to stop me, but I don't know. I mean, she seemed like maybe she was not, she wasn't mad, but I don't know. I mean, she didn't tell me not to do it.
I think she's just worried about you. She wants to make sure you don't take any more risks than you have to. But I think she's leaving it up to you. If this is something you want to do, then she'll support you. But she won't necessarily be happy about it. But hey, that's life, right? as long as she still gives you a hug and a kiss every once in a while, then she's not going to be too mad at you.
No, I mean, she said she was worried. You know, I mean, I told her I have you guys, so I mean, we did it. We made it back. Everything's mostly okay. Just kind of like big shoulder shrug, like eh, whatever.
So what I was saying, Kurt, was you and I were in the barracks waiting for Huxley to come over. So I was just telling you that if you're up to it and Huxley's up to it, maybe it's time to go look to do another run. I did just kind of mention there's something I want to talk to you, the two of you about, but let's go try to find a run to see if I need to talk to you about it now or the next one. We're trying to look for something on the board that has us going, we said west, right? Or west, northwest, in that kind of direction. And it may give us some information of, fill in some information that we saw on our previous run. So if you're up for it and Huxley's up for it, I say we, you know, go see if we can find another run.
So hold on. So what you're telling me is you have a secret you want to tell us, but you're not going to tell us now. You're going to wait till later, but it has something to do with something that happened before that was important, but you don't want to tell us now. Maybe you'll tell us later.
And, you know, kind of Smokey will look around and, you know, just kind of with that, you know, we're in the barracks right now and there's lots of other people around, you know, it's, I will tell you, and I will tell Huxley, but let's make sure it's only Zucci and Huxley that are hearing it.
And then he's like, oh, okay, I get it. And he winks. Hush, hush, on the QT, I get it. Okay.
Smokey will wink back, touch the side of his nose, doing the, you know.
Is your nose itchy? I get that sometimes. It hurts now when I rub it, though, because the whole side of my face is kind of...
And Smokey will say, rub it on the other side. And then, you know, kind of stand up and like smack his hands together and say, okay, let's go. If you guys are up for it, let's go see if there's more work for us to be doing. And, you know, just kind of head off to wherever the requisitioning office bulletin board, jobs board is.
Yeah. You'll actually be able to pull that up on your whatever. Your phone, tablet, okay. Whatever electronic device you have.
Huxley's okay, doing that.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're near an organization building and you're connected to their network, then you can pull up all that information on your, you know, your org app, basically. Okay. So
I'll, when I stand up, so I'll look at both of them and just say, you know, let's all start searching, see if we can find something that's, you know, kind of west or northwest. And, you know, he'll look out the window, whatever it's made of, it's glass or some kind of newfangled. He'll look out and say, looks like a sunny day. Let's go sit outside and talk about it out there. You know, kind of head for the door.
Huxley's just reading stuff out. There's one here. There's one here. There's one here.
And this one, and this one, and this one.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.